Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
UK Tech Weekly Podcast.
I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. So tell me what you want, what you really, really want. I want to listen to the UK Tech Weekly Podcast, the UK's premier audio breeze block, throwing together cheap audio housing every Friday. The UK Tech Weekly Podcast is an infotainment iron horse from the editors of PC Advisor, Techworld, Macworld UK, and Computerworld UK. You can find us on Acast, on SoundCloud, on iTunes, and more. Every Friday, we head to an audio dog show, running up and down audio ladders, chasing audio balls, and leaping through audio hoops for audio biscuits, in order to bring you no more than 40 minutes of informed tech chat on the hot tech topics of the past seven days. Thank you, Chris. Don't forget, subscribe, review us, and tell your friends. I'm Matt Egan, Editorial Director of IDG UK. And today, I am delighted to be joined in conversation by the heavyweight world champion of podcasts, Chris Martin, Consumer Tech Editor of PC Advisor.
Hey.
The gold medalist of the Audio Olympics, Christopher Manassian, Staff Writer of Macworld UK and PC Advisor.
Hello.
And the runner-up of Miss Rural Worcestershire 1983, David Price, Acting Editor of Macworld UK.
I'm just glad to have taken part.
This week we are talking MacBooks, Pixels and Chips. Take a deep breath. Pepper Pixel. Chris Martin.
One for the parents.
Google got a brand new phone. What's the word, brother?
So, as we have talked about on a previous podcast, Pixel is Google's new phone range, although it has used the brand for other devices. And they go on sale today as we record, yesterday as you listen, if you're listening on the first day it comes out.
Tell me about...
made that really complicated.
So it's coming out on Friday the 21st.
Yeah.
Tell me about Google's Pixel and why we should care.
So it's the first time Google's kind of branded it as their own phone. So they've called it Pixel.
So it's not like a Nexus.
By Google.
Yeah.
So the Nexus brand is gone, which was a range of devices made with partners. So Samsung, HTC, LG, Huawei, all made different Nexus devices for Google, and they were quite clear about that. They had those companies' logos on the backs of the phones, sure, as well as the Nexus branding. But this time around, it's Google's own phone, but it is actually made by HTC. So it's not really Google's phone. We've had confirmation that HTC does manufacture the phone for Google.
How weird.
Is it an element of the design then? Is it that Google themselves are involved in the design process?
Yeah, I got an initial comment from HTC saying, we're really happy to have been involved with the Pixel and like the process of, you know, creating it and stuff, which didn't really say a whole lot. And then they did confirm to me later that they do make the phone. So,
but it's interesting because it's probably a bit of an inside baseball thing, but it's interesting because when those Nexus devices came out, like Asus used to like speak to us and say, hey, have you seen the Asus Nexus? And Google would be like, no, it's just the Nexus. But it really is fully branded as Google.
Yeah, it has got a big G, the Google G on the back.
Right.
And doesn't mention anything about HTC.
So presumably they're taking all the risks. So they presumably paid HTC to make it for them and then they're selling it into market.
I think so, yeah. And they've like there's TV adverts. The Metro this morning had one of those full cover things, which literally the front was just a G.
Right.
And then inside it talked about the phone. But it was quite Apple-esque, actually. It was like you know, so simplistic with just the logo in the middle of the page. It reminded me of Apple.
A few things about this remind one of Apple.
Yes.
Which I could be facetious about the design, but the whole selling point for me is that if the same company makes the software and the hardware, then you get a more integrated experience. And yep. That's always been something that Apple alone can boast of. Sounds a bit like Trump, doesn't it? Only I can solve it. But that could end, couldn't it? Because Google makes Android and Google sort of is making the phone. But that's why it's important to know if it's HTC or Google that designed it.
But then with Android anyway, the version of Android that's on each phone has been coded by the phone manufacturer.
I think that whole thing's a little bit blown out of proportion. Yeah. Like, the chips are designed to run Android, and like more and more partners are using stock Android, so they're not going with these whole big skins and
I can't think of an Android phone I've used in the past. You've used more than me, but in the past 3 years where I've thought, you know, the software wasn't right.
Yeah, kind of thing. And Android's got to a point where they don't feel the need to change it much. So I don't think that's as big as a issue than it.
Or it might be, but it might be reassuring to.
But it is.
People
they are selling it.
David's
on that.
Huge levels of ignorance.
That is one of the things they're selling it on. And the new, like, it's a bit like the Nexus ones. It comes with the latest version, and it will get it quicker than
right. So it's going to get
phones.
Upgraded.
Yeah, I mean, it's on 7.1 Nougat, and
it's the only one that's got Google Assistant, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's built in as such, in inverted commas, which means that you can long press the home button to launch it, a bit like you would launch Siri on Apple devices.
I love that you have to translate everything into what it would be like on an iPhone.
Just comparing, just giving context.
No, it's good.
But, you know, it will be available as an app for other Android phones at some point. So it's not like you have to buy the Pixel to get Google Assistant. And Google Assistant is just Google, really, and a new way of interacting with it in a more conversational kind of chatbot style.
With the Nexus devices, certainly at the time they first came out, the Nexus 7, the what was the first phone? The Nexus 4? There was the Google Nexus.
It was actually the Nexus 1, built by HTC.
But the one that really kicked off was
the Nexus 4 was LG, and that was pretty popular,
And they were kind of there because, reading between the lines, it felt like Google was frustrated with the OEM manufacturers not making sufficiently good phones and mucking about with the software and stuff like that. So they kind of made these phones to say, look what you can do, to reassure the public a little bit. And then as soon as the market matured, they've kind of backed off a little bit. What's the deal here? Why is Google doing this?
It's a bit unclear, really. They never really said what the Nexus range was all about and what it was for, but it was.
But it felt like a lost leader to get.
Yeah, it felt
normal
like
normal people onto Android.
Yeah, and it was a great way of offering people phones about half the price of the iPhone, which were they were decent rivals despite
Nexus
the price.
Was brilliant. For the price, it was just outrageous.
Yeah, and they continued that. They did get a bit more expensive over the years. But now it seems that they just want to be a bit more like Apple with the whole, we're Google, this is our hardware and software, like David said, I think.
What's the,
and the price has gone up too.
I was going to say, what is
exactly,
the price?
It is exactly the same as the iPhone 7.
That's mental.
Yeah, at each storage
which is
point.
Kind of, it's a bit of a sticking point, especially when these phones aren't waterproof.
You can get a Samsung or you can get, you know.
Who wants a Samsung now, though?
Me.
We both.
Well, I know, but you know. Who other than outside the tech bubble wants a Samsung now?
I think
Samsung's explode, don't they?
Yeah, I think but it's just one thing.
Yeah, right. I think they've got they have enough recognition with people who know stuff and. They're just, I mean, basically, the only people who are going to buy them are people who go and buy an absolute premium phone. That's not true, is it? Because you've got the Galaxy Ace and things like that as well. Basically, if you're in car phone warehouse and you're looking at the phones,
it's going to be loads of Samsungs.
Yeah. And you can, you know.
I think only the people that actually had exploding ones are going to be put off Samsung for life.
Really?
I think so.
I think it's hard to say at this point.
It's just an opinion.
I agree that, maybe they'll get past it. But it's been like the double whammy, is that you had the initial, oh my God, these phones explode. We're going to have to recall them. And then we don't know why they exploded and we're going to have to recall the entire line. Yeah.
But then we talked about this a bit last week, but they've also done the thing that politicians never do, which is, all right, we don't really know what's going on, but we're going to take the hit now. They basically resigned early in the hope of getting back in the next parliament. Because, all right, it's going to cost them, whatever, $3 billion, someone said the other day. It's a lot of money. They can afford it. and it means this story dies quicker.
Except I'm hearing a lot of stuff about people who aren't getting money back for things like their homes being burnt down, their, you know, their nightstand or whatever getting burnt by their phone, and then Samsung are not.
Oh no, they clearly need to sort that out.
And so I'm not sure. I don't know. But it's got outside the tech bubble, and people I know who are normal civilians.
You don't know anyone who's normal.
Semi-normal. They talk about Samsung phones explode, and they don't.
It made the national global news. So
Chris Martin was on talk radio talking about it.
I didn't listen to that actually. But it's really fun.
I don't mind. It's fine.
Just on that note of the Pixel, like where people would buy them all.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
The thing is, I feel that because of their price, they've kind of shot themselves in the foot. And I think, I remember David and I were speaking about this in a previous podcast, that just due to the price, it causes a lot of people to question, oh, should I actually buy the Google phone? It's not like it's a bad phone from what I've seen. But
I think
they're
brilliant phones. Yeah. I think they're absolutely brilliant, especially the camera.
Yeah, exactly, which is something they were boasting as well. They were saying this is the best camera rated by...
But I think you're right, because who's going to buy it? It has to be someone who's in the market for a flagship who then decides to get the Google. It's not like it's going to be mass market.
And the thing is, a few tech friends have all said to me that there's something I was going to buy, but then looking at it, I don't think I'm going to jump ship to the Google phone. I'll stay on my iPhone, for example, because I like the iOS platform. I mean, that's a whole different debate, but it still goes back to the thing that if it was like Nexus price, of what we remember of Nexus price, let's say it was 200 quid cheaper, I think a lot more people, including techies or non-techies, would be like,
that's what happened. It became Nexus 4 became the phone that we just recommended to people, because it's buy outright for 150 quid.
Every new one was just like, well, this is the best value phone available. Well, this is the best value phone available.
But that's not where we are with the Pixel.
No, not at all. And it's difficult to recommend it when, you know, the S7 or other Android phones that have been out for like 6 months have dropped massively in price, as they always do. And it's always, except the iPhone, it's a case of don't buy a phone that's just come out, because it's really expensive. And then you've got phones like the OnePlus 3, which are £329 regardless of whether the price has dropped. In fact, that went up, but that was Brexit.
That's a whole other conversation. Yeah. So where can one buy the Google Pixel? Direct from Google?
You can get it from the Google store online. Some models are sold out at the moment. I checked this morning. But, you know, they're probably not making a huge amount available so that it does that.
Throttles.
And you can also get it from EE and Carphone Warehouse.
Okay. And just quickly, what are the specs? Why should we care?
So the bigger models, the one we've had in for review, that's 5.5-inch Quad HD, using the new Snapdragon 821 processor, 4 gigabytes of RAM, 32 or 128 gigabytes of storage, but no microSD card slot, which is also another Apple-esque thing, which is really bizarre considering most of the Android market has expandable storage.
And 32 and 128?
Yeah, with £100 extra if you want the bigger one.
Which again is like Apple.
Where's the 64, lads?
Yeah, but you
Apple
get...
Apple always have a gap in the middle. They go 32, 128, and then they also have 256, which they haven't got.
Yeah, so it doesn't go up to that, but you do get full resolution backup on Google Photos.
Right.
Unlimited backup for anything taken on the Pixel, photo or video.
Okay.
So that kind of alleviates a lot of the storage worries. Yep. Yeah. And it has got this smart feature where it would delete older ones automatically to keep the space
That is quite cool.
Available.
That's what you want.
The camera is 12.3 megapixels. I think it's an f2 aperture. It's basically the same camera that was in the Nexus 6P, which is also a bit of a sticking point, because that's still available and a lot cheaper, and it's not that different.
But the camera testers are saying it's a much better camera.
Yeah, 3 points better.
But I don't know.
Most people aren't going to notice that difference.
It's not down to the megapixels. It's about the size of the sensor.
No, as in 3 points on DxO, their mark.
Yeah, but they're all. I mean, all the phones are clustered around that point.
Oh yeah, that's what I mean. There's no. Yeah, most people won't notice the difference.
Yeah.
They're just going to take photos, put them on Facebook. Like, they probably won't even edit them. So.
Idiots.
But for, if you're somebody like that, then you just get, like you said, the OnePlus 3 or something.
Exactly. It's got a perfectly decent camera, like matching build quality, decent screen, same size.
Is brand trust an issue at this point as well? Because I don't think most people think of Google as a phone company, even though it makes Android. There's no sort of history there of
I think people feel that Google is sort of cool, though, don't they? Weirdly, given its anti-competitive practices. But, like they make films like Interns and stuff. There is that idea of it'd be great to work at Google kind of thing.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I guess it perhaps there's, from a consumer point of view, it's hard to put myself in a normal consumer's shoes, but perhaps it's a little bit like...
Don't do that.
They're being...
Give my shoes back.
Perhaps it's a bit like there being tons of Windows devices out there from Acer.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, look, but then the Surface is, it's from Microsoft. Yeah. So in your head, you must be thinking, well, it's got to be better.
Well, even if not better, it's a guarantee of certain quality, isn't
it?
Which is the case with the Surface. It's like there are similar models you can get from other manufacturers, but you know what you're getting from Microsoft is going to be quality. Just before we wrap up on this, you've seen another phone this week.
Yeah, which I'm actually more excited about than the Pixel, which is
made by
Kodak.
Whoa.
So this is Kodak's. I don't think it's their first ever phone because they've launched. I think they've launched phones around the globe, but just not really in the UK. But this is called the Ektra, which is the same name as a camera they made back in 1941. So they're kind of rebirthing this classic camera in the form of a phone. And it's obviously made for photographers. So it's got like a bit of a Lumia 1020 / Samsung Galaxy Zoom type design.
Right.
Where there's like a bit of a bulge towards the bottom for like holding it a bit like steady. A camera.
Well, it's also so you can show people that you've got a special camera phone, isn't it?
It's got that kind of leather style finish that you get on cameras and like an industrial design and a big old fat lens sticking out the back. Although it's debatable how much the big sticky out lens is any different to a normal phone.
You don't want a lens to stick out the back, do you? If it's a phone.
But it's the same as
it's more
sometimes people get like Micro Four Thirds cameras and stuff like that, and they're not necessarily any better than an old school compact, but they look photography-y.
Who knows? Maybe it is a good camera.
Have we tested it?
Only I had a quick play at the launch event, so I can't really comment because I'm looking at the photos that I took only on the phone, screen, which is just a 5-inch full HD screen. It's really hard to gauge the quality, but it seems like it's got potential.
But it's clad in leather. It's got a bulge at the bottom. Yeah, and a big old sticky out lens.
Yeah,
that's all we need.
And it is a lot cheap. It's coming out in December, and it'll be £449. So talking about the price of the Pixel, this is like, oh, it's actually like really cheap.
And it will have some kind of brand recognition. So
yeah.
But really sort of fake brand recognition, isn't it? Because Kodak brand bought out and it's not the same company at all as it used to be. No. I don't know, anyway.
Well, on that bombshell, let's quickly go around the room. Pixel Perfect or Pix Might Fly? David Price.
Pix Might Fly, there you go.
Christopher Manassians.
Pix Might Fly.
Chris Marsden.
I'm stuck in the Pixel, like... stuck in the middle, I don't know. Didn't quite work.
It worked better than anything else. Excellent. Okay, well, we'll take a very short break and we'll be back shortly to talk Apple. Puff the Mac Chick Jack lived by the sea. David Price, after some years, we're getting new MacBooks.
Maybe. Probably.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think so. We've got invitations. I say we. I haven't. No, I'm not bitter about it. They've sent out invitations to a launch event at Cupertino on the 27th of October, which is next Thursday.
Next Thursday, yeah.
And as Apple's want, they haven't said what we should expect, but the there are some clues. The invitation says hello again, which is partly because they had an event only last month for the iPhone, but it's probably a reference to the Mac. When the first Macintosh was launched, the advert had a little hello on the screen, and when it was unveiled, it did voice recognition and said hello, I'm the Macintosh. So we think that means Max incoming, which we've been waiting for ages. The MacBook Pro, look at my notes, last updated in May of 2015.
Wow.
So that is
quite a long
overdue.
Yeah.
As I think I've talked in a previous pod, that the MacBook Pro has been delayed for such a long point now that it's actually impacting Apple's bottom line, because people are refusing to buy MacBook Pros.
They're waiting.
Because they assume that there must be a new one coming along. And you get to that point where expectation actually starts to damage the company, because everybody's thinking, well...
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I know something big is coming, so I'm not going to buy anything.
So we're expecting MacBooks Pro?
Don't do that. Yes. So, I mean, I think all six of the Macs are potentially up in the air. They could do a full refresh. It's
right.
Possible. MacBook Pro is the most likely. iMac, I think, is probably going to happen. Could be a new Mac Pro. Mac Pro last updated in 2013.
Yeah, that's been a while.
So we're expecting that. There's a limit to how much I'm allowed to say on this, but apparently a source close to Apple has said to us, a very reliable source close to Apple has said to one of our colleagues, that there will definitely be a new Mac Pro in either October or November.
It wouldn't be unusual for them to do that separate to the rest of the Mac line, would it?
They could. I mean, they might just do it quietly, just send out a press release.
Last time it was just an Apple Store job, wasn't it?
It might just be like a one-slide jobby in the keynote.
I love a one-slide jobby.
Yeah.
what else is there? A Mac Mini. Could be a Mac Mini. It's also possible there could be iPads, because it's been a little while. The iPad Mini 4 is a year old.
And we're probably down to like only about 30 or 40 different kinds of iPad now, right?
Yeah. So. Come on, you're having to go Apple for that.
That was a one-slide job, the iPad Mini 4.
I remember, well, yeah, but it probably shouldn't have been. I mean, the iPad Mini 3, that was a one-slide jobby. That was nothing. That was like the MacBook Air.
Yeah.
That was a real one-slide jobby. I'm going to stop saying that.
I think we found our podcast title.
We really have. What do we expect from the MacBook Pro?
It's going to be an exciting one, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it makes sense that they would have delayed it this long because something big is coming. We think a lot of people think there's going to be a touch bar along the top of the keyboard, which will, so it'll be touch sensitive, and it will change.
Be kind of like a little screen.
Exactly, exactly. Like a really long, thin screen that you tap, and it'll change the little icons on it depending on what you want to have as your sort of function bar type of thing, and it can change depending on the application you're using. Some people think that they're actually going to do something similar to that for the entire keyboard, that they'll have e-ink.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Is ridiculous. That's not going to come out until like 2018, if at all. But we have to report the...
Touch screens?
No, I don't think so. I've not heard significant talk on that, except in the way that you always go, well, maybe it could, but...
I'd be surprised, considering how many different gestures there are on the touch, on the trackpad and stuff.
Exactly.
You don't really need...
It would be strange that they would have gone all in on the Force Touch trackpad and then to go...
And then you're kind of saying, you don't really need an iPad, in a way.
Well, yeah, that is true.
What would be interesting is Touch ID.
Yeah.
If they'll integrate that within the trackpad...
Yeah, because... Well, yeah, it's possible. Because having done... added Apple Pay to macOS Sierra last month, well, back in the summer, really, then we are in the position where you can use Apple Pay through your Mac, but then you have to have an iPhone at the same time because you use its fingerprint scanner. So having a fingerprint scanner on the Mac would make a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. But on the downside... you remember the 12-inch MacBook last year, 2015?
The one that's just the MacBook?
Yeah, just called MacBook. it doesn't have USB ports in the usual. It doesn't have USB-A ports. Yeah. It just has one USB-C port. And it doesn't have MagSafe either. So we think maybe the MacBook Pro is going to have no MagSafe power supply.
And it's no full-size USB.
No full-size USB.
That would be ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it was ridiculous when they did that with the MacBook.
Yeah, but think about the MacBook Pro user. They always
use
multiple USB ports at the same time, let alone not having any.
I agree with you. You're preaching to the converted. Yeah. I don't think they should do it, but it's what we're hearing from a lot of
people. Classic Apple to do it, though, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I think they're going to have multiple USB-C. I mean, I've seen leaks that show four USB-C ports. Yeah. And you know, just like with the headphones thing with the iPhone 7, as soon as it comes out, if this is right, then all the accessory makers are going to leap into line and start churning out USB-C accessories in a way that they weren't motivated to do before.
And Apple does have a lot of courage.
It's a cheap shot. Yeah.
The thing is, even if they do it, it'll kind of be fine, annoyingly. Like, people will still buy them, and then they will just buy the little adapters.
It really grinds your gears. Apple makes money, doesn't it?
It's just less convenient.
Well, yeah. I know.
It's not so much the money. It's just, like, forcing people to their way of doing things, giving them no choice.
Choice is overrated, Chris. You don't want to have choice.
Interestingly enough, do you think there'll be a headphone jack?
They might not. That would really...
Do they not just have a lightning port?
They could do that.
On a laptop?
Well, not on a lightning port.
It's so small, though.
Yeah, or they said that about the iPhone.
If it's got USB-C, there's room for...
But it was never a question of room. On the iPhone 7, it's not significantly thinner.
It'd be awesome if they trolled everyone and put like a phono port in there. So you can have big old H's headphones.
Use really old banana-style connectors.
Exactly.
You can connect...
Banana-style connectors?
Yeah, old... speaker connectors.
I like it.
Single slide jobby.
I'm not too young. I'm older than you. Single slide jobby. Yeah, if there's new iMacs also, they could get Kaby Lake. In fact, MacBook Pro could also get Kaby Lake. And I'm sort of hoping that I can...
Kaby Lake being the processor. Right.
Yes, it's the new generation of Intel processors. And I'm sort of hoping that Christopher can and start wheeling in and telling me all about the numbers and the processors and the... mechanics of that stuff. But Kaby Lake will allow you to have Thunderbolt 3 for one thing, and we think they're going to get rid of Thunderbolt 2 and replace it with Thunderbolt 3. So all the ports are changing. All the ports are up for grabs. So, you know, if there's a port you love...
Exciting times.
Worry.
I just realised that the Microsoft event is the day before
the
this.
The day before.
Yeah, this is hilarious. The 26th of October.
And they're possibly announcing like an iMac. Right.
Yeah, Surface
all in one.
Which would be hilarious if they come out and they get Brian Roper to do his little product demonstration with the Surface PC, and then the next day Apple steamrolls them with iMac.
One that's made of like one sheet of glass or just a cloud of steel or something. And there's Microsoft really excited with its... Microsoft will make a nice Surface all-in-one PC, but Apple will make a much more desirable iMac.
Why is it with software companies making hardware at the moment? Why can't they all just leave it to the OEMs? What's wrong with that?
Well, the OEM model is just a bit crap, isn't it? You can't control what the product is.
Yeah. It's all about control, Chris. It's good. Walled gardens. Walled gardens, FTW.
So, we should be excited about this, presumably.
I'm excited.
Are you excited?
Well, I don't know. It's been so long. I feel like it's been built up too much now.
Okay.
So I'll probably end up disappointed and sad and tired.
Christmas so all over again. Okay. Right, on that bombshell. Let's go around the room. Mac Beauty or under a Mac Cloud?
Oh, go on then. Mac Beauty.
Christopher Manassians.
Is it Mac Cloud?
Under a Mac Cloud. Like a black under cloud. Under a Mac Cloud. Yeah,
do that one.
Chris Martin?
I'm stuck in the Mac middle.
One time, you will do it properly. Good. All right, we'll be back in a second to talk about chips. How do you like your GTX in the morning? I like my with a smile. Christopher Manassian's NVIDIA has reason to smile. Why?
Well, NVIDIA recently announced the new graphics cards, the GTX 1050 and the GTX 1050 Ti. Now, these are two budget graphics cards, and when I say budget, that means they are £115 and £139 respectively.
So that's budget for gamers, really, for people budget who are serious PC gamers.
Well, even then, I remember we discussed in a previous podcast of the AMD RX 460, which is its direct competitor.
Yeah.
And I remember speaking about like VR and speaking about how affordable a graphics card like this can be for just your average Joe, shall I say, the guy that just wants to, or the girl that wants to just pick up a PC and play for it at under, say, £400.
Right.
They can do so with this graphics card because it's so inexpensive.
Because that's probably going to be the most expensive component, as long as it's got a reasonable Intel system on a chip.
Exactly.
Processor. Yeah.
Exactly. So the reason why it's exciting, I would say, for gamers is because it's affordable. In my opinion, it's truly affordable at, you know, under £140. Mm. Essentially, you can play, well, according to NVIDIA's benchmarks, easily at 60 frames per second, which is the gold standard for
PC gaming.
Well,
you'd be hard-pushed to get that with, like, the best smartphone games. So, you know, that's I realise that's not quite the same thing as doing hardcore PC gaming, but I'm just saying from an experiential point of view, everyone gets excited when you get 60 FPS on a smartphone, so, you know, it's obviously a decent minimum.
Exactly, exactly. So, yeah, it's got a lot of people excited. And what's quite interesting is, well, at least for me, I think it's quite interesting at the time they've released it.
Right.
And the reason I say this is because it's the last, in my opinion, I think it's the last graphics card that they're going to release this year. It's pretty safe to assume that. And until next year, I wonder if they're actually going to release it in the opposite order. The reason I say this is because we had the GTX 1080, 1070, which were really expensive graphics cards.
Okay, and then they've gone down to budget. Right.
Then they've gone down to budget. But I think they've realised that a lot of people are starting with the budget price because they don't want to spend so much money, and not everyone has £450.
Well, and also, that's kind of the point I was making. Like, when your smartphone gaming can go up to 60 FPS, actually, that as a minimum is fine. For, you know, I know there will always be people who want ultimate numbers, but in terms of getting a great PC gaming experience, you don't need to spend thousands of pounds now.
Exactly.
And so that's kind of where the market's going to shift, isn't it?
Absolutely. And that's why it's quite interesting to see it released now. But it's good that NVIDIA have actually released it, because it was the missing, I would say, the product line that was missing in the GTX 10.
So where is the market now in terms of NVIDIA versus AMD?
So it's an interesting debate. I remember in our, shall I say, AMD podcast with the RX 460, I felt that NVIDIA are still pulling ahead, but AMD have a good market share in the budget line.
Right.
When we look at Steam users, Steam obviously being a game platform for many, you can see what hardware these people are using, and AMD had a good market share for the sort of budget line.
So Steam actually shows you what chips people are using?
Yeah, if you share the information with them.
Wow.
And there's, I want to say, millions which actually have done it, but it just quickly scans your hardware and then just shares it online.
That's interesting.
Which is interesting because it allows companies even to use it in marketing, but also just to see as a comparison for your average user or even your sort of, hardcore gamer, what are people using and should I actually trust buying this card over this one?
Yeah.
And they look at
Does it make a difference when they're writing games code, which platform you're on? I mean, I presume there are standards.
It does. Actually, my friend's a web developer, and he actually needs to use an NVIDIA card for CUDA cores.
Right.
Because it renders better with code. Now, it's not to say that one card isn't compatible with the other, but if one is better than the other, then it makes it more accessible. So yeah, that does make a difference in terms of gaming and in terms of developing, especially the fact that AMD got rid of Mantle, which was the, I want to say the API behind certain games, and it got rid of it because DirectX, which is built into Microsoft, just did so well.
Yeah, completely.
So
that's a true standard, isn't it?
Yeah, Exactly. So it's just interesting to see how this will shape the future of AMD more than anything. And the debate of AMD versus NVIDIA, I honestly think that AMD is going to be slowly pushed out of the market. And I see it sad to see, because then you just see a monopoly in the market of NVIDIA cards.
So what about VR? How does the GTX 1050...
They haven't said anything about VR with a GTX 1050.
Okay.
And the reason behind that is because, just like the RX 460, it's not powerful enough to really give you a VR experience.
So this is where it gets interesting, I think, because to your point about budget and affordability, we're now entering a world in which PlayStation VR is out there, and you can get that. Okay, that's, you know, that's whatever it is, £350 on top of your PlayStation cost. Yeah. But, you know, if you're then comparing and contrasting that with Oculus or HTC using a PC, then it starts to, you know, if these things are going to become mass market, I suppose my question is this another challenge to PC gaming from console gaming? And even if one company, you're saying NVIDIA, ends up dominating the PC gaming market, could that end up being a bit of a Pyrrhic victory if the consoles sort of catch up and take over?
Well, I think it really depends on the manufacturers like HTC, because if you think about it, if you're a PC gamer who wants to get into VR, you have to shell out, I think it's over £400+ for the actual headset, let alone your PC. So if you're shelling out that much just for VR, then I'm sure you'd be spending more than £130-140 on a graphics card. You'd be spending £400 on a graphics card, not only because you want a better VR experience, but because you know that your other graphics cards just won't be capable of outputting that. So it does pose a question, but again, like the PlayStation, it's that extra cost.
Yeah.
And if someone's spending that extra amount of money, then
If you're going to buy the HTC Vive or whatever, you probably are going to spend more on your graphics card.
Exactly. But it does beg the question. A lot of VR is getting into. You've got AR even. I think one of our colleagues, Neil, is looking at the HoloLens, which is quite intriguing, if you ask me, for Microsoft platforms. Let's see where the future is shaped. And obviously, it all depends on developers at the end of the day. Developers of the games. Content. If they don't make it compatible.
Content's king, isn't it, Dave?
Yes, as long as it's got good SEO. I have a question. It might be a stupid question.
But go ahead.
I don't know. Let's say you have one of these budget graphics cards, and I have one of the ones that cost much more money, which I don't know the names of. And we're playing a competitive shooting game, such as Soldier of Fortune,
like
or a more up-to-date reference. how much of an advantage would I have with my high-powered graphics card?
That's a fantastic question. It's something that I've always...
I'm sorry.
It is actually
such
fantastic
a good
because, because it's something that I remember when I was moving from console to PC. It's something I mentioned in the PC forums, and people just were like, no, it's not true. If you've got better equipment, naturally you're going to be better at the game. Not better at the game, but you have more advantage on the battlefield. So let's take Counter-Strike. It's a game I play every day, super competitive. If I'm hitting 300 frames per second on a better graphics card versus you hitting 60 frames per second, I'm going to see you faster on my screen.
You've got 240 extra frames every second. But isn't it also a little bit like, you know, smart drugs cheats in athletics? Don't you know, pump themselves full of loopy juice just before the race. They do it when they're training in the winter, and then they feel the benefit of it. And if you're playing a game that's slicker and faster anyway, presumably you get better at that game than the guy who's chugging along at 60 paltry frames a second.
Yeah, you will get better, and I've noticed it myself. Like when I was gaming on a lower end PC versus a more higher end PC, I noticed my performance was different, and that applies for everything though in a PC. So your monitor makes a difference.
Yeah,
your keyboard.
Yeah, refresh rate must be critical, I would have thought.
Exactly. Your mouse, your keyboard, even your sound. If your headset doesn't pick up surround sound properly, and I'm not saying that you need DTS or Dolby, but if you don't pick up the sound, the footsteps coming from behind you, and the other guy does, he has the advantage of knowing where to look. And
you've got
to
get into competitive gaming. That sounds amazing.
So it is, it's very, like, that's the thing. That
sounds stressful.
Yeah.
Many good things are stressful.
I suppose so. Yeah. Interesting times. Okay, let's close that one off by going around the room. I don't really know what I meant by this. I'm just looking at my script. GTX Express, which I think is like an S Express.
Yeah, thing, that's a good reference.
Versus Television GTX, which I think is a Television X porn channel reference.
Well, they're both good things.
Well, yeah, I don't think they are. I think the latter is generally considered bad.
Oh, I mean, yes, of course it is.
Father or daughter, David Price. David Price, GTS Express, good, versus Television GTX, bad.
I don't feel qualified to say. So I'm going to say, stuck in the GTX middle.
So that Chris is lying. Christopher Nassians, you are qualified to say.
GTX Express.
And Chris Martin.
GTX Express.
Wonderful. Thank you all for your contributions, even though not once did we get everyone to make a decision of the binary decisions. And thank you, listener, for listening to this edition of the UK Tech Weekly Podcast. WIC Weekly Podcast. Do get in touch to let us know your thoughts and opinions and to shake us down for cash. You can tweet us at UK Tech Podcast or email editor@idg.co.uk. We will be back next week with more informed and uninformed opinion on the hottest topics in tech. So presumably next week we'll know all about Apple's announcement.
Yeah, that'll be the big one.
Exciting times.
Apple special.
Do you find us on Acast, iTunes, SoundCloud and all those other noisy places. Until then, until next week, say goodbye, team.
Goodbye, bye. Team.
UK Tech Weekly Podcast.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.